Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 634. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
We got so many people on this podcast that we're kind of melting the servers, which is a good sign.
That was a thing that happened with not a lot of people on it, but Earl is here.
Can you hear me? Are we ready to begin? Are we starting? Are we good? Wait, hello? Yeah? We're good?
Maybe. I don't know. And Jeff is here.
Hi.
Damn it, Jeff.
Did Ron DeSantis declare that he was running for president? And that's what the Twitter thing was, or
yeah, well, that was it. That was his announcement, was on Twitter. What I believe was the first and last presidential announcement on Twitter.
That doesn't make any sense. Like,
smart move. Go on, Spaces.
I liked AOC being like, oh, and when I was streaming Among Us, I mean, we had like 600,000 people watching with no issues.
I saw the initial things, and like they were running into problems with like 100,000-200,000 people in it, and I was like, I don't know, I'm sitting here watching the PlayStation showcase and there's 700,000 people watching this right now and it seems to be working. I don't know.
Twitter's
what
broken.
Is going on?
It's broken.
So that happened on the internet this week. We got lots to talk about, though.
Yes, as you mentioned, you were talking about you were watching the PlayStation thing.
Yeah. And actually, if you give me 1 second, I will grab my notes. I should have pulled them out already, but they are in my bag right behind me.
Who needs notes? I mean,
unprofessional. All
right.
But I mean, I think while Chris gets his notes, I think we're all in agreement. Summer Game Fest is canceled. I mean, there's no way anything's gonna top that showcase. I mean, it was games and there were announcements and like we told you to not fall asleep during it.
That announcement, that whole showcase was a victory for narcoleptics everywhere.
I totally did not regret like actually skipping out on work to watch this showcase. It was totally worth it.
Well, I think that's and this isn't Sony's fault, but like the rumors surrounding this were like this is their E3 presentation, like, or would have been if they were part of E3. They're kicking off the E3 season. 2 weeks early, but that's what this is like, and there's going to be all these big drops, and we're going to see Silent Hill 2 and Metal Gear and Castlevania, and they're all going to be exclusive to Sony.
No.
And Sony's going to show a bunch of first party stuff, and some of that materialized, but sure. Mostly no. I have a lot of notes here. They showed off a lot of games, most of which probably aren't worth talking about.
If you love VR.
Well, I see. Usually it's easy to blame Sony's sometimes the access to showing on VR. But I will grant them this. VR did not show up for like 45 minutes. The problem is, at that point, I think most people had checked out.
Earl, you mentioned this in our chat. It's Sony doesn't seem to know how to present things.
Yeah.
Because there's a way you could have done this without it just seeming like nonstop media being tossed at your face.
Yeah, it's really weird to talk, you know, like be like, oh, you showed too many games. The problem isn't necessarily the amount of games or what the quality. It's just that the way I was thinking about it yesterday is it's the same issue I have with the Michael Bay Transformer movies. I love action movies. Action movies are a ton of fun. But you don't want to sit there for 2 hours just being overstimulated by action constantly. You need some breaks for plot and exposition and people talking. And that's the same thing Sony did. It's like, it was an hour of like game, game, game. I think Jim Ryan showed up twice for maybe a minute, if that combined.
Yeah, and he has the personality of a wet rag, so he's not real. Like, he's breaking it up, I guess, but like his presence just brings the mood down.
Yes, he very much has he's very much a suit, as they say, and you know it works for some people, doesn't. Crap, who was the guy? Not the guy before. Like, the guy during the PS2 and PS3 era was pretty decent at, like, was that Yoshida?
Maybe.
But yes, there was some.
Yeah, I think it was, because he had, like, that, he had the Twitter account, the fake Twitter account.
Yeah. And, like, that was somebody who at least had a presence. I'm not saying I always agreed with them. But like you like they knew how to put on a showcase. Nintendo,
or Kaz Hirai, maybe.
Yeah, Kaz. CEO. Yes, Kaz is a good one. Yes, Kaz is a good one. And like they knew how to at least get people invested in what they were talking about. Nintendo left out for a while with the trio of Miyamoto, Iwata, and Reggie. Reggie was just a walking meme. And I mean, it's kind of discouraging to say, but there was a charm to like Miyamoto and Iwata's kind of attempts at English sometimes. Like they just had that very charming, goofy way about them that worked. Microsoft has had the benefit, I think, sometimes of just being a very rich company. So they've been able to get Keanu Reeves and The Rock. So if you can't, Ubisoft did Aisha Tyler for a while. If you can't do it, get somebody who has personality. Like, yes, that has its own qualms, you know, like, of people feel it's fake or forced. Don't necessarily disagree with it. But it's better than whatever they were doing with, like, they had, like, segments where, like, the PlayStation symbols would show up.
Yeah, like, that was their inner section. Like, we're gonna take like a 10 second break and just like show geometric shapes.
Mm-hmm. And I thought that was gonna pay off to something, like it's building up to, nope, it's like this is just like how we're getting in between things. I'm like, okay, like honestly, I think the thing that really sold it for me, at least in my head, was Metal Gear. Like, I felt like, how do you make a remake of a very beloved game feel like a nothing event? Like, I was just like, oh yeah, they just announced the remake of Metal Gear Solid 3 and a trilogy collection, and we just kind of like glossed over it.
Yeah, it was just kind of like mixed in the shuffle. Like that years ago at an E3 presentation, that would have been like the and one more thing.
Like, or even if it's not, like, the way you tend to pace these out is like you have a big announcement, you have a bunch of smaller announcements, you like 10 minutes, 15 minutes in, you do another big announcement to kind of get the people up and going. You can pace them out if you have multiple big announcements. But I thought they started strong with, okay, I'm going to say they started strong, and then I'm not going to remember what game they actually started with.
Fair Games.
Oh, that's the PvP game, right? Okay, let me not say maybe, that. That does not narrow it down.
Well, yeah. So
that's like the one.
I thought it had a cool trailer. Yeah, and it kind of looked like Watch Dogs 2 ish. Yes. And I was like, oh, is Watch Dogs kind of going back to that? No, it's just this game called Fair Games. Like, it's I guess it's multiplayer, kind of like Payday, but competitive. I also did. I put a note here because I did want to talk about this game. Not necessarily the game. I don't know. They didn't really show anything. It was a cinematic trailer. Another issue with this whole showcase. But
wouldn't it be Concord?
Yeah. Like, can we just kind of talk about the nonsense of, and this isn't just them. Ubisoft has done it with Watch Dogs Legion, and I'm sure Microsoft has done it as well. But like this whole like eat the rich type of presentation coming from a multi-billion dollar company. like we're going to push this. We know this is hot for you guys. This is a social issue you guys like.
We're one of you.
Give us all your money, please. Seemed weird to kick off with that. But it was a cool trailer. I'll give it that. They showed 29 games, plus stuff for VR, which that was when I blacked out for a bit. 28 games, I'm sorry. I counted the GT movie as a game. That's not accurate.
Talk about that.
Sure.
I know we're all over the place. I know, but the fact that that was kind of like their penultimate announcement was the Gran Turismo trilogy. And I'm like, oh, like, you know, again, I hate comparing it to directs and stuff like that. But Nintendo was wise enough to be like, oh yes, we're gonna have a Mario Direct for the movie, and it's just gonna be focused on the movie. We'll give it all the pomp and circumstances, but we're not gonna. I think they announced the cast during an actual direct. I feel like that's different than
Troy. Yeah, that's a 30-second thing. Like, oh, Chris Pratt's Mario, and move on. They showed full trailer, which is fine. I think conceptually that movie looks fine, and I thought
it looked better than the first. Whatever we got before, but it just felt weird coming, like, because I'm like, oh, they're gonna do it, and they're going into an announcement of like a new GT game or something, and I'm like, oh no, that is not what happened.
Yeah, or some DLC or something for 7, like nothing. It was just like, here's the movie, and then they like just followed that up immediately with Project Q. We will get to that. That deserves its own discussion.
Yes, it does.
Game wise, I flagged some that kind of looked cool. Immortals of Avium, I think we've talked about that before. That's EA's basically Call of Duty with magic. It looks really stupid, but looks like it could be fun.
Okay, so what was the thing? I thought Foam Stars, I think that's what it's called.
Yep, Foam Stars.
Yes, it's an adult Splatoon. Or I hate saying adult Splatoon.
Adult Splatoon. But everybody's naked. Like, it's like you shoot people with sex paint.
I mean, kind of. It's like a weird soapy foam that you jump.
Yeah, it's a big foam party. that did just look like a Splatoon ripoff, though, right? Like, I'm not crazy.
Yeah. Which, again, I'm actually down for. There's a ton of Splatoon clones out there. I think the closest thing was...
Are there any?
There's that one, I don't even know if it's a Splatoon clone, but, like, is it Sega? Or, there's that Switch game, Ninjaya, where it's, like, you are, like, ninjas with, like, different types of weapons, and you cash in 3v3. It's kind of fun and goofy. I don't even know if the servers are still around for that. But that's also kind of my fear. It's like, I feel like these games will come out and be gone in no time. So
yeah, Square is publishing and developing this. They don't give their games a big window to succeed. If this doesn't hit, it could be gone in a year. It seems like it's only for PlayStation, so very good chance that it is. We see it come out, and then a year later, we hear that the servers are closing. Let's see, what else was there? There was a bunch of shit.
the Chucky Squire was there, but we've seen that before. That continues to look interesting.
Yep.
I thought Phantom Blade Zero looked interesting, combat-wise. I was surprised, and I hate to be that. I was surprised, especially the first like 10-15 minutes, how much we kind of went back to these very saturated, not saturated, muted games.
Yeah, like, Helldivers looked very muted. Phantom Blade, very muted.
I think even that, what was the first one you talked about? Oh,
Immortals of Avium. It's a terrible name.
A lot of that looks very, it's a surprise. Because then there was a game, I mean, Cat Quest, and then I think there was another one that came out, like, Neva? I'm like, oh, okay, there's some color, there's some vibrancy here.
People remember color.
It was, because like, there was a lot of games in between that actually, there was the one that kind of like Breath of the Wild meets Xenoblade, Towers of Agam.
Yep.
But
Tower of Fantasy.
There's two different Towers of games, which is very weird.
this is the one that kind of like has like an anime aesthetic, and then there were jetpacks, and you could swim underwater. Was that the one?
No, that is good too. There's the other one with like, he's on the like they're on the guide, and then they and like giant creatures and stuff like that.
Oh, yep, I have that. Let me find that note. Towers of Agba.
Yes. And I'm like, okay, that is interesting. But I was, sometimes it's, you know, but I'm like, oh, this is like if somebody was like Xenoblade Roryku, people have the guide in Breath of the Wild. And I was like, this guide is in other games. The only reason I say Breath of the Wild is just because of how it's done with the whole, the motion and kind of like, and then there are these giant creatures and stuff like that. But that
even like the aesthetic of the glider is that kind of like U shape and way they're holding it. Yeah. Like, it's from Breath of the Wild. Let's see. So those were ones that I had on there. Sword of the Sea looked like Journey 2, which makes sense. It's from the Journey people. That one looked pretty neat.
It was so weird because like a lot of people were like, Journey with a magical broom. But it was fun. I will just say this looked fun but very slow. I have to say Ultros. Which kind of, it's like that Metroidvania, very colorful, but like the backgrounds were very vibrant and I like the art style, but then like sometimes the character would move and like, it's not like slow or frame. It was just like they purposely made the character like sluggish. I'm like, oh, that's a choice. That seems very weird for this type of genre. Alan Wake 2, but I think we've known that, but that's coming out October.
October 17th.
Digital only.
Yep. I did think that was like it looks like it's like in the first one you played as Alan Wake. And in this one looks like you'll play as multiple characters because it looked like you were controlling Alan's characters that he's writing about, and somehow he gets sucked into his book. So thought that looks pretty good. Did not have the flashlight mechanic, Tony, so maybe you'll like
it. Oh, fantastic.
I don't know, like they didn't show it and it didn't seem like the flashlight was the big piece in that, so
now it'll be like an ink dripping mechanic. He's writing the book. I can't see anything through all this ink.
Final Fantasy 16, they showed that, but we kind of already knew that was that wasn't
announcing new. This game is coming out 3 weeks from now.
Yeah. I just did kind of like, and this is a Square thing. This isn't anybody else. Like their studio naming is really like the team doing Final Fantasy 16 is called Creative Business Unit Number 3.
Who does not associate creativity with business? I mean, they go hand in hand.
Such like a dry name, like there's no personality to it.
I mean, what kind of personality is in a name like Final Fantasy 16?
That's true. Sirius has been going on forever.
And I mean, to be fair, I have Nintendo, but they're what is it? Entertainment and. Like EAD just is like entertainment and something special, but you never refer to them as that. It's like it's Nintendo. But,
yeah, or when they show like the logo for who did actually, I don't think they ever actually do show the logo for who. Like Creative Business Unit Number 3 was front and center in this trailer. Like, oh, that's a big deal, I guess. It showed AC Mirage, which looks very much like Assassin's Creed 1.
It does. To the point where if you thought it was a remake, I would not
Yeah, if they did not call, like, they called the character by his name, I don't remember what it was, but if they had called him like Altair, like, I'm like, okay.
Well, it's one of the dudes from Valhalla.
Okay.
So it's a character from that game who then went to the Middle East and is now assassinating people there, I guess. I don't know.
That's what they do. They're assassins.
Yes.
Briefly talked about Tower Fantasy already.
The Talos Principle 2.
Yeah.
Not the Talos Principle, but there's also early on, there were just sequels to games. I'm like, I've never heard of you before. And that's on me. Like, Helldivers 2. People are like, oh, I'm like, oh, yeah, Helldivers. And Ghost Runner.
Yeah, that game came out. It was like 2 years ago. I don't think anybody played it. I mean, I guess enough people played it that we're getting a sequel, but like, we're supposed to be excited. It was at the beginning of this.
Yeah, I feel like that is that some, again, it's like priorities and like hitting the stuff in order. Like, there was an announcement of a new Five Nights at Freddy's. Actually, I don't even know if it's a new Five Nights at Freddy's at this point. It could be a remake. I don't know.
Five Nights at Freddy's Help Wanted 2. I don't, like, I guess it's coming out alongside the movie.
But do you know how many Five Nights at Freddy games there are?
No, I have no idea. I've never played a Five Nights at Freddy's game. I don't even know what they are.
I mean, if you've ever seen Willy's Wonderland with Nick Cage, it's very, because I saw the trailer for Five Nights at Freddy's and I'm like, oh, this is Willy's Wonderland all over again. But it's like it's like an old Chuck E. Cheese, where like the animatronics are evil and trying to kill you or something like that. And this is, I don't even have an exact count, but I think as far as main nine games, this is the ninth one. This franchise has been around since 2014.
I mean, it's something that has clearly passed us by, but
oh yeah, and it's definitely like, it's definitely for a different generation. But it's just like so weird because like Five Nights at Freddy's 1, 2, 3, and 4. Came out between 2014 and the start of 2014 and the end of 2015. So they are very kind of quick turnaround, just go with that. But yeah, again, I've heard of the franchise, never played them. It's just like when they announced it, I'm like, I don't know if this is a sequel. I don't know if this is main. I don't know if this is, but there's enough for them that this is a whatever it is, and there's a second one of these. So.
There's also a second Dragon's Dogma game.
Yeah, a lot of people on my time, I was super excited for that. So I'm, you know, props to them.
I could have sworn they announced that game like a decade ago.
Right?
Same.
we did see a trailer, right? Like years ago at an E3 or something where they were like, right. Dragon's Dogma. It was just cinematic. They had no gameplay.
Oh, I
honestly, but that happened, right?
Okay, I don't.
This is how I felt about what the hell is that game that's coming out? The Lords of the Fallen.
Okay, Dragon's Dogma 2 was announced on June 16th, 2022.
So that's it. Yeah. Okay. Yes, and I feel like Dragon's Dogma itself was remade or was getting remade, but I could be wrong. Again, we are not. Well, I mean, it's weird because I think you folks would be the audience for somebody for this one in particular.
So I tried playing the first one. I could not get into it.
You played it, right?
I tried getting into it like last year. You know, it always goes on sale for like $3. Yep. There's things about it that seem like all right and cool and
it seems like it should be fine. Like a nice open world RPG where you go and you kill monsters and whatnot. It's so thin, I think, is the problem.
It felt dated when I played it. Yeah. And it is old, so, you know. It could be cool, though. A sequel could be cool. I'm not, you know, opposed.
Right, there are sequels that make the game better, essentially.
Yeah.
There's something there, but I think it's an idea that's been done many times. Like, it's not a new idea.
Street Fighter VI, they showed that. That was weird, because that game is out in a week.
Well, I mean, honestly speaking, Street Fighter 6 and Final Fantasy 16 were like the two biggest games here. I'm like, oh, there's actual gameplay here and everything. So
Well, there was one more big game, right?
There was. But we'll get to that in a second. But I was like, oh, there's actual, like, this, I actually know, because there's so, like, to Chris's, like, there were so many things where I'm like, I don't, okay, Concord. I have, like, I thought we were over. Concord was a name.
Yeah.
Like, that's all we got. It wasn't like, okay, like, here's a, I'm over.
We got the interior of a spaceship, a sniper rifle, and a little bit of music, and then it was like Concord coming whenever, I don't know. My notes for this are just question mark.
Yeah.
Sci-fi shooter? Question mark. I don't
know. Sci-fi, certainly.
It pissed me off, honestly, because I'm just like, this is not anything.
You mentioned Metal Gear. They also announced that the collection volume 1, which obviously implies there's going to be a second collection. That's neat. Although it's not Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater, it looks like it's a Delta.
Yeah.
But that was CG. Like, it didn't look like there was any actual gameplay in that trailer. And the Master Collection Volume 1, that's neat. Konami's actually done, I know lots of people like to give Konami shit, you know, over the last few years, but their collections, you know, Castlevania, Contra, the Turtles Collection, have been really good. So they're at least hiring out and creating good stuff on that front. I don't know how this remake's going to go, but we'll see. They're doing a marathon. I don't know if this is a remake, a reboot.
I don't know.
By Bungie.
Bring it back.
Yeah. the trailer looked cool, but again, just a CG trailer. Like, no gameplay. Bungie, though, solid with shooters. So, and this is coming to everything. PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. So we'll all get a shot at that one. PSVR, they spent way too long on that, which, I mean, I'm sure some people are like, they didn't spend long enough. But their big games for that were Resident Evil 8, which I'm sure it's great in VR, but that game is, what, 2 years old now? And Beat Saber? Is there anything new for PSVR?
Like, oh, I think it was like the Beatles. I don't know the music, but yeah, it's like, I thought it was a sequel. It's like, oh, it's Beat. I mean, I was also like, how do you do a sequel to Beat Saber? But I'm like, oh, it's just Beat Saber ported. This is also just kind of goes back, and I, you know, it is what it is, whatever.
Queen. It was a Queen music pack. Okay. That's what's coming to Beat Saber.
Yes, but it's also weird because I'm like, this was your big title on the PlayStation, and like the big announcement is like, one of our big titles is now supported by a new device that we could have just done from the day one, but.
Ever. Let's see. You mentioned Concord. They showed Destiny 2. That has like the dumb, like the Last Shape is the name of their new expansion. That's a dumb name. but they're bringing back Nathan Fillion they're bringing back Cade 6, the character that Nathan Fillion played. I assume it was Nathan Fillion doing the voice work on it.
If not, it's a very good sound.
Yeah, it sounded very much like it, and like that was neat. I guess I tried to follow what the story of Destiny 2 is now. It doesn't make any sense, and there's no way to actually catch up on it because they archive missions. It's like you can't just jump into Destiny 2, like, I don't know where was it, the last big expansion was a couple of years ago. I played that, and then, but they've had like 3 since then. You can't catch up on them all because they archive some of those missions. So just really kind of dumb way to tell a story based game. Then Project Q. They cut a PlayStation controller in half and glued a tablet in the middle of it. and you can use it in your house to stream from your PS5 to that device.
Congratulations on reinventing the Wii U.
Cool. I didn't know that's what it was. I just saw. I did not watch this. I looked at the Wario
stuff. You better choice.
Well, I saw it, I was like, oh, they're, you know, doing like a Switch-like device, which is, you know, whatever. Cool, I guess.
Instead they're bringing back Nintendo's
most failed
console.
Yeah. I like the Wii U, but yeah, this seems like probably not going to be a huge deal.
I was going to say half-assed Wii U, because at least the Wii U controller would still be used. The Wii U controller worked with the system.
Wii U.
It
was the system. Like, if you bought a Wii U, that's what it was. It's like, this is just like something you could buy. And so, yeah, it's going to be even bigger.
Yeah, but people are like, I have friends like, you could. I mean, to be fair, to be 110% fair up front, they were very sparse on the details. So some of this may be, you know, it may be better than we thought. But
it may never see the light of day.
Yes, but this is what they gave us. Because, I mean, as far as I could tell, this is just a really fancy way of getting Remote Play up and running in your household. I assume you could use it remotely too, because it works over Wi-Fi. But the fact of the matter is, you're going to be taking a video because your PlayStation 5 has to be on, because it has to. I mean, really, that's the death knell for me. It's like your system has to be on and the game has to be installed on your device. Which, yes, I mean, yes, your games have to be installed. But like, you would think handheld, I could stream this game or something. Or the one people were talking about.
The games have to be installed on the handheld thing?
No, it has to be installed on the PlayStation 5.
On the system. It's like the Wii U, right? Like, you install the...
Okay, yeah. I thought it was even more bizarre in that it had to be installed on the thing, but you had to be by your PlayStation to play it. Like, no, what?
This is more in comparison to, like, Xbox. You can use Remote Play on your phone. The game does not have to be installed on your Xbox for you to play it. Because, yes, it's like the Switch. It's not like you can just play any game on the Switch, but, again, the Switch is the device. It's stuff like that. The fact that, like, no, it's not a big deal. But it's an LCD screen instead of OLED, which I think a lot of people have gotten accustomed to between, like, the Switch OLED and most smartphones now, I think, are OLED screens.
Yeah, and I think Sony had, like, even with the Vita, I think the Vita had an OLED screen. Like, it's a nice screen.
And really, I mean, for me, the biggest issue is going to be the price.
Yeah.
Because,
I mean, and the fact that there's zero use case for us.
Like, some people point, like, okay, like, there are some extremely niche uses. Again, kind of like what people use the Switch for. Like, let's say your spouse or your kids. I mean, it's hard to say because I feel like we don't. And I feel like this is a very crassus or you just think. I feel like we, like, I assume many of us growing up had like one TV household.
Yes.
You had the family TV and that was like everything. I feel like that's no longer the case anymore because I feel like TVs are cheap enough. That, like, if anything else, there's, like, probably a family TV and maybe there's a one in, like, the, you know, a second room or something like that. So, but, like, the cases where, like, okay, you know, like, your family or your kids are watching TV and you want to play a game, you can take this up and you can go, you know, play it elsewhere. You can play it while sitting next to them, but they can use the TV or something like that. Like, again, there are some uses, but the thing I go back to is, like, the Switch works because it's one device. If I want to play Zelda right now, take it out the dock, good to go. Put it back in the dock, it's on the TV. It's one device, I paid one price for it. PlayStation 5, on the base side, I think is what the cheapest is, $400?
Yes.
So you're paying $400 for that. It's to be generous to say $150 for the second device. That, I'm assuming, because we've seen it with the Switch, we've seen it with the 3DS, we've seen it with the Vita. It's not going to have the best battery life in the world.
Not based on Sony shit. Like, that DualSense controller has hard battery life.
And this is, I'm assuming this is going to have all that technology, plus a graphic processor, plus a Wi-Fi chip, trust this, that, and the third. I can't imagine it's going to have a super huge battery. But we'll see. Again, they could prove us wrong. But it's like one of those devices where, like, on paper you look at it and it's like, yes, there are some cases, there are some uses for it, but that is not a reason for a device. This is justifying why you would buy a device. There are people, and I'm sure we've been those people at times, who you would buy stuff because it's new, it's fancy, it seems fun.
Yep.
It doesn't necessarily mean you have a use for it. Just seems like, oh, this is nice to have. That is not a market you build on.
No, that's a weird market to target. Like, normally there is a target demographic for what you're trying to do, and I'm not sure remote play is a large group. A friend of ours, he did mention that this, you know, it's possible that Sony was locked into a screen contract with a manufacturer, and this is just a way to dump that contract. They've created something weird, put it out there, and it gets out of, I don't know. Like, to me, it seems like a waste, but we'll see.
And the thing is, there are ways that, even if that was true, there are ways you could do that where it's like, we're going to create basically a PlayStation shell, but like, this allows you access to all of, like, if you're an Essentials or a Premium or Extra, I don't know which is which, like, oh, you can install and remotely pick your PlayStation 1 or PlayStation 2 games. And see, like, PS3 titles or whatever. And I'm like, okay, then there's a market. If you have it's a retro handheld. Then you can say, like, oh, this is real. And I'm not saying that can't be done.
Like, the use case you just presented, that you would have bought. I would have bought one. Like, I'm in.
There's a market for that then, because it's like, oh, I could play all these classic games on the go. They're not graphically intense. So they probably, you know, like, they probably won't lag as much on Wi-Fi and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, that, and you have, like, maybe, like, a gig or two. Like, we sometimes forget how small the PlayStation 2 titles were. I think DVDs were up to, like, 5 gigs, if that. But just have some, like, small memory on it, and you're good to go.
They said they're going to give us more details later in the year. They also announced a new PlayStation earbuds. I'm sure that those are likely great. Sony has some great audio tech, and their headphones are really nice.
Yeah, that I didn't have any issues with. Yeah. I mean, that there's a market for that. I mean, there's a market and there's competitors. I have Google One. You know, the earbuds are popular. You can get, there's a ton of, like, knockoff and cheaper ones. So yeah, it's a marketplace that's ripe for competition. Go for it.
And then they close it out with the big one, which was fun. Spider-Man 2, no date, fall 2023.
That kills me that there's no date. Why is there no date? There should be a date.
It's not going to be.
Yeah, that makes me nervous. The fact that there's no date in my brain pushes that game to the spring. Like,
we're at summer, you know?
The only reason I would dispute that, and correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like the same thing happened with God of War last year, where we didn't have a date for it until much closer to launch than
it. God of War was delayed. Super late.
Yeah.
Yeah. And same with Horizon, right? Both kind of pushed. God of War did hit fall.
Yeah.
Last year, but they did not, and maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe they're gonna, like, hey, what if a bug, like a big bug, comes up and we have to delay? Like, let's not force our hand here. And we can do a concession speech, you know, in October if we're not gonna hit our mark. But it looks really good though.
Yeah, no, I'm all in for this one. They confirmed that it was a single player game. Do you play as both Spider-Men?
Yes.
Spider-Mans?
Yeah, so what is the plural of
Spider-Man, Earl?
I assume it's Spider-Man.
So like it starts off where you're playing as Peter, and he has the symbiote now, and I assume that they will explain that at some point. But so he has like symbiote powers as the black suit Spider-Man. And it's neat because like the symbiote is really grimy, and there's like texture to him that you don't necessarily get in like some of the movie stuff. And then later in the, actually, Pete calls Miles and says like, you know, they're looking for Dr. Connors, and like, oh, he's across town. You're closer. Get to him. And then you just instantly take over as Miles. It's really neat.
That is that is really nifty and kind of cool. My only, I don't know how to frame, because again, looking forward to going to pick it up. It's like, how does what they showed us was a huge set piece that was like a mission. Like, how does that work throughout the course of the game? You just switch between them. Does like Peter just go do something a few miles, or does do they start in their home base? Do they start where you left them? Do you actually have access to change in between them, or is it like you control Peter for part of the game and then they
go
over to Miles?
I do hope that they, you know, we get that in some sort of later showcase or presentation. I'm hoping it's like outside of when you need Peter and Miles in the same spot, I'm hoping it's kind of like GTA 5.
That's what I was thinking, like switch between them and you find like Miles popping and pimples in the, bathroom, or like
just be really cool, like just jump into a moment of their life.
Yeah,
the game looks really cool. They did showcase that a cinematic, like QuickTime event again. That was a big piece of this, but
yeah, Kraven is a really fun addition as a villain. I mean, especially since the first game, I think it's a lot of classic Spider-Man villains.
It did.
So yeah, we see him, Kraven and the Lizard, and yeah, the stuff like that. You know, I like that there's continuity. This is, you know, building off of Spider-Man and Spider-Man Miles Morales. The symbiote powers looked really cool. I will say something that I don't, like, a lot of people are like, oh, they're doing the symbiote storyline again. I'm like, it's like one of his most iconic stories.
Yeah.
And two, I mean, Venom is super popular.
Yeah, it's Venom and a fun villain to fight. So
I was also going to say, too, I don't think it's that. I mean, it's happened, but like, I don't know many times it's been done in video games. It's not in this way. It's been done once in movies.
Yeah.
And it's been, the cartoons have done it often, but like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I get it, and it's the same issue I have with people like, oh, I don't want to see Batman's parents killed again. I'm like, yes, but there's something to be said about, like, there are certain benchmarks that define the characters, and this is probably the second biggest one behind Peter's origins, is that he gets corrupted by this suit and eventually overcomes it. Like, that is probably the second biggest outside of Uncle Ben dying that relates to Spider-Man as far as, like, what people know about Spider-Man.
And, they seem to be doing a really good job with it because, Peter's kind of an asshole. And the symbiote is obviously trying to control his personality a little bit in this. So they're doing a really good job with it, I think.
Yes, I'm really curious if he's going to do any dancing in this one. We will see.
We get emo Peter.
Yeah.
So that's the PlayStation Showcase that happened. I am hoping that Microsoft Showcase is more eventful. Just better paced. Doesn't need to necessarily have more games or bigger games. It just needs to be
Microsoft
better designed.
Microsoft needs to show like these games that they have announced like years ago. Like, I need to see them or something. I need release dates.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if we're going to get release dates for everything, but yes, they need to show. They need to show stuff like Fable. Need to show Avowed.
Show the Rare game. Show fucking. What is Perfect Dark even a thing? Like, and I don't even care. It's not like I'm like, oh, Perfect Dark. I just dude, what do you have cooking? And what is it going to be ready? Like, right. I'm kind of fed up with Microsoft at this point, to be honest.
And that is fair. The only thing, and I don't want to, is I would point out, like, Sony, we just came off this event, and it's like, their first party also does not seem to be in a place that you would think it would be. Because they have Spider-Man.
That alone, dude. That alone is, like, something.
It is something, but it's weird that, like, I mean, yes, they have like Final Fantasy next month. They have Street Fighter, so they have exclusive games. Don't get me wrong, but like, I just feel like 3 years in, it's weird that none of their first party is at the point where you think they would be cooking.
This is
exclusive, is it?
Huh?
What was that? No, Street Fighter's on everything.
Yeah. Okay, so they got Final Fantasy.
Yeah, they do have their Final Fantasy. And they have some other exclusive stuff. Sony seems to be chasing, and this, they've been doing this for a while, but when they closed down their Japan studio, it seems like the age of like their smaller, quirkier titles are done, and they're all in on these big cinematic AAA games, and we now know that those take forever to make. I don't know what's going on over at Xbox. Like, no idea. They do release those weird quirky games, but we're just not getting a consistent run of stuff.
I don't know, man. Sony put out God of War last year, like big cool game. Like, I don't know, dude. I love my Xbox, but like, I don't feel like that is due to Microsoft at all supporting it. And like, I'm like, Sony's putting some games out, and I'm like, Microsoft, who owns a million studios, like, what are you doing? Like, where is anything from any of these studios? Like, I guess we're gonna get what the fuck is it from Bethesda?
Starfield.
Yeah. Hopefully, but and hopefully that's good. But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of frustrating.
Yeah.
I
agree.
Also, by the way, I was looking. I was like talking with my friend earlier tonight, and he was asking me if he should get a Series X, and I was like, "Yeah, sure, fucking do it, man." He still has an Xbox One, and
like the original.
I think so. I don't know. That's what he's playing, like the new Call of Duty and the new Diablo on his fucking Xbox One.
No, yeah, upgrade that shit.
Yeah,
and he's like, do I need the Series S or the X, or do I just wait for the new system? I'm like, I don't know, the new system ain't gonna be out for a fucking minute probably, so we just get the X. I would say, like, just
I would tell somebody like that, no, don't get the X, get the S with Game Pass, because somebody like that will satisfy all their gaming needs like forever.
No, why not just treat yourself? Get the one with the better graphics and fucking enjoy Diablo the best it can be. Like, you know what I mean? Like, anyways, though, to get to my point, though, is I was looking on Amazon, and like the Series X is like not exactly available. Like, you could get it in a bundle with Forza, which he was like, why would I do that? I have a Game Pass. And but then I looked, and you could get a PlayStation 5, and like, now I'm on the fence. I'm like, oh shit, you can buy PlayStation 5s now. And there's a decent amount. Like, I would like to play God of War, I would like to play Demon's Souls, and I want to play the Spider-Man 2 coming up. So I'm on the fence, boys.
Do it.
Anyways,
you're not on the fence, Jeff.
There's a long road. There's a long road to. I'm thinking about PlayStation 5.
You've already done it. You're just like, when in the Patreon?
Click the button.
Yeah. It's gonna happen.
Click the button, Jeff. Play Final Fantasy 16 with me.
I give Jeff a week.
He's gonna get the end of the podcast.
I am the proud owner of a PlayStation 5 now, guys.
Well, I do have a trip to Wisconsin this weekend, and if I don't go out there and do that, I could easily fund the PlayStation 5. Just saying.
Sounds like a great idea, Jeff. Congratulations on your new PlayStation 5.
I mean, it has like, it's going to have four games I really want to play now. So
start putting together your recommendation lists for Jeff. He's going to need
it. Yeah.
You need to play, and then we can transition directly into games. Jeff, you should play Humanity. when you get that.
Is that like a PlayStation exclusive?
Yeah, right now it is the next game by Enhance Studios, who are the ones who did Tetris Effect. And I talked a little bit about it last week and like explained it to Tony and Earl as like it's kind of like Lemmings, like where you're programming the moves on the board. It gets way more complicated. You actually at some point it becomes like a hell shooter, like a bullet hell shooter, where you are actually you have a follow command. So you're then like puts like a little circle around your dog, and then any of the people that get inside it then actually follow you. And like the actual final boss is you collecting people and shooting at this boss. It's neat. Like it gets really cool. The levels get really intricate, neat concepts. Like there's ones where you just program, like a lot of them are like the people are just moving along, but then there's ones where you have to program everything first. And then like, that's it. You cannot make any more changes.
See how the scenario plays out.
It's like, you're kind of like looking at it and going, okay, I think this is how it works. And then you get there and like, you forgot to send a turn. Your guys are just walking off a cliff or something.
Nice.
It's really, really cool. I finished it tonight. It has jumped really high up my list for the year. And that's like, it's just included with their, it's one of their higher tiers of PlayStation Plus. We don't know what the hell they are, but yeah, you know, they're that service has some good shit on it. Like, I'm starting to play my PlayStation 5 a little more now.
Did they roll like the PlayStation 2 and 3 games into PlayStation Plus, or is that still like the separate, like,
you have to have a different tier, but yeah, there's some PlayStation 2 stuff, some PlayStation Classic stuff, PlayStation 3, and that's all like PlayStation Now. I don't think exists anymore.
That's what I was thinking of. It used to be like a separate thing.
Yeah, so it's now one of their higher tiers of PlayStation Plus. You just get it.
Yeah, especially if they really filled out the PS2 library. Man, that'd be so cool.
And they're starting to put like, and not that you're big on PlayStation 1 games, but they started to update their PlayStation 1 classics and added trophy support, so it's like you can go through and play those old games,
get some trophies.
Yeah, like I mean, I don't really care about trophies, but it is neat to like go back and see something pop because like, you know, you're playing Siphon Filter or whatever.
Yeah.
It's always fun when trophies pop, achievements pop. I think now like we're finally at a point where games are coming out for both systems, multi-platform, that are designed specifically for those systems. Street Fighter 6, I believe. Star Wars was only on the new system. So, like, we're starting to get games that are designed just for this hardware now. Okay. It's only been 2.5 years.
That answers my question, because my buddy was asking me, he's like, is the Star Wars game only on like the newer Xbox? I was like, I don't know, dude. I never have to think about it, really.
Yes.
Like, I just make sure I buy the one that says, you know, XS, and that's it. Like,
yeah, that one is not on. That is
maybe that's why he's thinking about it. He's like, uh-oh, I'm starting to get left in the dust here.
Like, I know.
Because he's made it this far. Like, you know, everything comes out on both or all three, you know, so.
And as Tony said, like, you know, the S probably works for him. Like, it's, you know, it's not.
But why? Doesn't have the best,
I mean, like, if he wants to save, what, $200 or whatever.
Yeah.
I recommend the X.
Like, if you were sitting around still playing your Xbox One, like, the difference in graphics between the S and the X don't matter to you. I think that's the.
Do you think it's like noticeable? I would imagine
it is noticeable if you're if you care, but somebody who has been playing their Xbox One until now doesn't care.
Well, the funny thing is he came over once and he saw me playing like Red Dead on, I guess, the Series X. I don't know. But he's like, maybe it was just my TV was better than his, but he's just like, man, the graphics and your house look way better than mine. I was like, you do notice it. Like, the first time you do upgrade, you like that first day you super notice it. You know what I mean? You're like, holy shit.
And I don't think like some, and I mean, again, as Tony said, somebody that's playing on the Xbox One, a base Xbox One, probably isn't noticing this, but like you noticed playing Star Wars going from performance mode to quality mode.
And like, I'm not a great eye on that.
But there was a significant jump. Yes, in
absolutely.
And that's not available on the S. Like there is no quality mode on the S. Like they only have the performance mode. So
I'm going to tell him to listen to this episode so he could get all the info. But that's interesting. So like, all right. So the S will play the new Star Wars game, but it will not do the quality graphics mode.
Yeah, it doesn't have the 4K.
That's wild. Okay. And I was like trying to say it to him. I was like, yeah, like, you know, the games will kind of scale or whatever. Like basically you could play any new game on the S, but you know,
and normally at 60 frames per second, if that's available.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have like the, you know, that quality mode enabled in most of them.
All right. There you go, Kreiner.
Okay. So I played two new games. Which one do you want to hear about first?
We need to hear about the game of the year 2023. I think that's...
So let me tell you guys about Golem.
you played Golem?
Yeah.
Of course he did.
How did you do that?
Because I had out to. Today. Came out and we needed to play. Like you did not see.
Yeah.
You got to check the Twitter thread. I have like a bunch of clips in our group chat.
Oh man.
This game is wild, guys. One, I thought this was produced by Warner Brothers, so I thought it kind of was from like the Shadow of Mordor side. Like I knew it was Dialectic Entertainment, but I thought it was Warner Brothers. This is not a Warner Brothers game. It's a NACOM game. I don't know who the hell they are. They are not Warner Brothers. I don't think they have the full Lord of the Rings license because Gandalf shows up, and in the captions, he's just listed as wizard. Elrond's there, and he's listed as Elven King.
Oh, God. Like, they literally just have the license for Gollum.
It's Sauron. They mentioned Sauron by name, but that's it. Like, Gandalf is there, kind of. He doesn't look like the movie Gandalf, but you can tell he's Gandalf. He has a gray cloak, gray hat, big wooden staff. He's Gandalf, and they're just calling him Wizard. The hell is going on here? The game looks noticeably worse in its cutscenes, which is weird. Like, normally that's where the games look best. This game looks like it looks like an Xbox 360 PS3 era game.
Yeah.
Actually, the whole game kind of looks like
the game itself. Yeah, it looks like that.
But it looks better in motion. Like when you're playing it, it doesn't like it's like okay. Like it's not as detailed, but it's like Golem looks better in motion in when you're controlling him than he does in motion in the cutscenes. It's very clear that they were using Golem as the movie Golem as their model, but they don't have that license, so kind of looks like a little off. Like it looks off Golem. Game starts out like moments after Bilbo takes the ring. I believe it seems to be the thing, and you're making your way back to the cave. And you go through like it's the cave as you remember it from the movie, which, you know, slight alterations or whatever. But Gandalf is interrogating Golem about when he was captured by Sauron's forces and made to tell them where the ring is. So that seems to be the premise here. The first chapter is actually fine. Like it's like mediocre Tomb Raider platforming, some mild stealth. You're hiding in weeds. If you get too close to the guards, there's like a meter on the side, you'll know when you get too close. But if you get too close, like the guard gets like a little like, hey, starts looking for you. But if you don't move, he'll move away. All that's fine. It's very janky, but it plays fine. Gollum himself does not play great. Like, he's a skittery character. And in a game, it's like a 3D platformer. You want precise controls.
Yeah, so
and he is all over the place. It is not great.
I saw IGN's video review and like, yeah, it's like that, like that, like platforming from like way back in the day where it's like so imprecise the controls, where it's like,
yeah,
you'll overshoot a platform, or like they showed like a spinning wheel with pegs coming out of it, and you like were just trying to jump to it, and like most games that would be pretty automatic nowadays, and it's just like he easily misses it and just falls and dies, and it's just like, oh god, that like,
yep, man. And like just think, Jeff, you played the most recent Star Wars, and like you're controlling, yes, Cal, and there's like a wall run section, and like very clearly this is a wall run section for Cal. But like you run up to it and you jump, and Cal just runs along the wall. Like, yeah, he knows he's supposed to run along the wall. And this same thing, like wall run section, there's these big white marks along the wall, like signifying wall run section. Golem, you need to be pressing the right trigger when you hit the wall, because he just won't automatically run across the wall. If you're not hitting it and you don't hit it just right, Golem will jump off into the chasm to his death.
It really kind of makes you appreciate how silky smooth that Star Wars game is for the most part.
Yeah.
Or, you know, most modern games that have figured out basic things.
It's like, yeah, it's like these guys have like are making an Xbox 360 game for the first time. Like, they've never made one, and they haven't. To be fair, these are people that make, like, the development team that did this, they make 2D point-and-click adventure games.
I did point this out to you guys. By the way, can I get a little... I feel like I deserve a little credit. Just saying, I bet the under.
He did bet the under on,
I did bet the 60? Under. Yeah,
under 60?
I think one of you guys came in 55, but I said I under that.
I think that idea was, what, 65? But yes.
You're and it's under, like, what the Metacritic is 38, Open Critic is 40. It's definitely under. I do feel like I don't know what IGN gave it. I did not look. But I saw GameSpot, I think, gave it a 2 out of 10. When I see a 2, like, that means the game doesn't run.
Yeah, that's a game that doesn't function as a game.
I think, like, IGN gave it a 4. I'm not like, don't hold me to that.
To me, like, on my scale, and you guys, like, I use like a 5-point scale, a two out of five or a 4 out of 10 is a bad game. And I think that's fair. This is not a good game.
Yeah.
But it runs. It is
a game.
It is a game. It is just a poorly constructed game, poorly designed. It is fascinating. I actually am enjoying playing it, just because it's like, I'm thinking about how they came to these decisions. Like, why did you put this weird, I need to go around and collect 8 things quest into a game in 2023?
I was going to say, these developers time traveled from 2002.
Right. Like, this is something, like, did you guys ever play the Lord of the Rings game that EA put out on the PlayStation 2? It was like an action game.
Awesome ones.
Yeah, there's like the Two Towers and
Awesome.
But like and yeah, they play really well. But it's like that era of game, like, where they would just do weird shit for no reason. Because they were trying things out. Like, 3D had just kind of taken over in the last like 5-10 years. And that's what these guys seem to be doing. Like, we don't really know how to design stuff in 3D, and they have rooms that are there, and they just put like an urn in front of them. But there's enough, like, Golem's not big, so like he should be able to walk past it. But it's just an invisible wall, because like it's flavor. Like, we've created this environment that looks neat, doesn't look that neat, but, you know, like, artistically designed. But we don't want you actually traversing around any of it. So we're just gonna put this thing here, and you're in an invisible tunnel. Absolutely nuts. That,
I can't believe you're playing this game. You bought this game. Oh my god.
The coolest thing about it, though, is these moments where, and if you've seen the movies or you've read the book, Golem has two personalities. There's Smeagol and Golem, and he'll have conversations with himself back and forth. There are moments where it's like you have to play a game with yourself, where you have to convince the other one.
Oh God!
Of an argument. So there's early on, there's this moment where it's like, oh, there's a beetle, and you've been chasing this beetle and this bird throughout this whole thing, and Smeagol gets distracted by pretty things, golems, and asshole wants to kill everything. And so there's just this beetle, and like golems like smash it, like it's spying on you. And so like I chose the golem path, and then you have to convince golem that the beetle isn't a spy, it's just a bug that likes flowers. And then if you do it correctly, like it just pops up. Smeagol has convinced golem. Like what is this game? Why are they doing this? It's wild. I love it. It's terrible. Do not buy this game. And I haven't seen any of Earl told me all about the
iconic lines.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of them. Any of these iconic moves or whatever that he has. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing them. Maybe I just don't know Golem well enough. But I have not noticed any of them. Yeah. Oh, and he has Batman vision. Like you can hold it down and it like makes everything gray and then highlight shit on the screen like Batman.
They play modern games. They know.
It's like, but that's it. There's no use to it. It's like they added that because they couldn't figure out their own maps. So
it was going to be something, but they just left it in half done.
And that seems to be a lot of this game. Like, we had ideas, and we only left them half done. Like, maybe Wizard and Elven King with no spaces were just placeholders, and they just never fixed them. I don't know. But the fact that Gandalf is not considered Gandalf in this, he's just referred to as Wizard, is wild to me. Okay, that's Gollum. Game of the year. You know, we know in our hearts that it's better than Zelda, but all right, Jeff, you were not here for Zelda.
Yeah.
You have beaten Zelda though.
I did. I beat it last night.
Tell us about your Zelda and then we can hear more from Earl and Tony on.
Yeah. I feel like I'm sad. I should have listened to the episode to hear what they thought.
I am shocked that you didn't.
I figured we'll get a little bit here, but yeah, I've played and beaten it, and you know, I really liked it a lot. Like, I think the coolest thing about this new Zelda is the new like puzzles and mechanics to it, because especially early on, you have to kind of like rewire your brain, because it's like it's just not how you're used to thinking about puzzles in a Zelda game or most games in general, because like some of the mechanics are kind of new, like the ability to like slap things together, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know if you guys have, like, I'm sure you guys kind of touched on this or whatever, but like, I don't know, man, like one of the shrines I went in, there was like a chest high up, and I was like, how the fuck do you get that chest? And then I slapped two sticks together, it held it up, and I attached the fucking chest to the sticks and lowered the chest down, and I think that was actually the correct solution to doing that. And that's just not how you think of things. Like, you would never think that I could grab a fucking chest with a fishing pole and lure it down, you know what I mean? Like, so like you have to like rethink, like, you know, you might have to build a vehicle in these shrines to get across something. And I found that so fun and fresh and exciting, like, after a while, because at first I was like, I found it daunting, and you know, you have to get used to the controls and this and that, but once it like clicked to it, I found it really fun. I thought that the new dungeons are better than Breath of the Wild, but still not classic Zelda dungeons, and I don't care what the developers or what Nintendo says, like, it's not Zelda dungeons, like the true thing.
Is that because like in a Zelda dungeon it was like you get the hookshot and this, yeah, is like not, you need that for that. They're themed, right?
You can't, they're themed, but like you know, in a classic Zelda dungeon, you can't reach certain areas until you get that item, and then you can, and it's like this interweaving like labyrinth. And this is like they're like four fucking shrines slapped together, and you have to go like into each corner of the dungeon, solve some puzzles or a puzzle, and then like activate a switch. You activate the four or five switches, and you get to go fight the boss. But they're better. They're definitely better than the Divine Beasts in Breath of the Wild, and they lead to a boss that feels like a classic Zelda boss. Whereas I think in Breath of the Wild they were just kind of like almost like Dark Souls-y, like where it's just like fight this guy, and if you're good, you can beat him. Where here, there's like some sort of trick. There's a gimmick to each boss to beat them. And I like that just because, you know, I love those classic Zelda bosses. There's one I'm guessing you guys talked about last week, which is the wind. Yeah, I think it's really fun. It's like you're skydiving fighting this boss. You have to like, there's like panels basically along him that you have to like dive through, and you have to keep doing that. And it's really fun.
I thought after doing that one, getting to the, because I did the fire temple next.
Okay.
I was disappointed. Like
in that boss, yeah.
In the boss, because I was like, this is not intervenant.
I hate to say that is my second favorite boss. So if you thought that like just okay, the wind temple. No, the wind temple is fine. It feels like a Zelda boss. It feels like a 3D Zelda boss, but it is. I thought the fire one was pretty cool. The way you were like rolling things up the wall at him.
It was too easy, and like the boss itself didn't feel threatening.
Okay, like,
it couldn't really hurt you.
There will be one that will hurt you and will threaten you, just so you know.
I guess that is a threat. That just sounds really.
I don't know. Jeff's initial threat that I wouldn't even get past the first boss as long as
I'm very proud of my boy Tony here.
I'm at the third temple now. I'm making through.
Do you agree with me about like the temples that they're kind of? I will say this: the fire temple I loved. I absolutely loved and adored it.
No, the fire temple is great. Like having to figure out like all the mine carts and how to get up to the top, and it's cool. There were some points at which I'm just like, you know, I could figure out how to get up there, but you know, my stamina is pretty high. I'm just gonna climb.
I did do that once. I climbed up to like the fifth floor just by using, That temple, in my opinion, is the one that comes closest to feeling like a classic Zelda temple, because it's just kind of big, and you're like, how do I get to the next place? Like, you go into the water temple, or was it the water temple or the wind temple? Like, you can see the whole temple. It's like all right there, and you're like, all right, I gotta go these four different ways, and I'm done. But like the fire temple, I'm just kind of like, I don't know where I'm going. There's fucking minecart tracks everywhere. And I don't know how I'm getting through
this. You had to, like, you couldn't figure out where the tracks went. Like, the only way to do it was, like, to literally get in a cart and go. Okay.
Right. You go, okay.
That wasn't right.
I spent an hour getting onto this other track that you pass by as you're going up to the third floor, only to find that it just leads to a chest and that it was a dead end. It was nothing. But yeah, so. That's all that, and then I did beat the game. I thought the end of the game I have issues with. In Breath of the Wild, you beat the four temples and you go to the Hyrule Castle, and that's the end, and it's pretty cool and it's epic. And then here you go to Hyrule Castle, and you think it's the end, and it's not. And then you're sent out to do more stuff. And when it sends you out to do more stuff, it is very vague about what you're supposed to do. It's like, go find somebody and figure out what you're supposed to do. And you're like, okay, how am I supposed to do that? Like, you're not giving me a marker or anything. And that's when I really had to start using a guide. And it led to like a very long, like multi-part quests towards. And like, I don't know how like comfortable you guys are with me like saying,
don't spoil it. Okay. I think Earl and I will both get there.
I'll just say that it's long and it's multi parts. They don't like they'll give you the quest marker for like where to start the next part of the quest, but then after you get the info on what you're supposed to do, the quest marker doesn't move. It just stays there, and then you're like, okay, well then where do I go next? And it's not very straightforward on that. And
yeah, I kind of feel like the quest markers did that a lot in the game, where it wouldn't move like you'd expect it. Like
it stays at the start of a mission.
You're supposed to go to this tree on the hill, but that's not anywhere near where the quest marker is. And
yeah,
I never had an issue with it until the end of the game. At the end of the game, it's really bad. Yeah. And
I haven't had a problem. I've noticed it definitely though.
It's not like a glitch. It's just like that's how they designed it. And there's like really cool surprises. Okay, there's really cool surprises in this last stretch. But yeah, it's hard to like. You're gonna have to look up what to do, I think.
And you can talk to people.
Or talk to people incessantly and hope that leads you in the right direction.
I always find like eventually I'll talk to somebody who gives me like the right information. Like I didn't know when I finished the second temple, I had no idea which one to go to next, and I just happened to go to a place with horses, and they're like, "Oh, you should go here."
Yeah.
And, okay.
This is much more not cool, but And then the final boss is pretty tough, very tough. It non-spoilery. There's an army you have to fight before you fight the final boss. That took me a half an hour, and the final boss itself took a half an hour. So it took about an hour to do the whole thing. And when you get to the final boss itself, it has multiple phases, like it has four phases. And sometimes you could use your companions, and sometimes you cannot. And the boss will infect you with gloom, which you guys know from the depths. It's like it will...
takes your hearts away.
Yeah. But in his third out of four phases, he doesn't just take your hearts away, like turn them to stone. Like he permanently removes hearts from your meter.
Okay.
And so like there's potions you can make to cure gloom. There's no potion to make to cure he took your hearts away. They don't exist anymore.
Can you use the potion? But there are potions you can make that overcharge your heart, right? Or does that? Those?
Yeah, sure. There's one that overcharges it by one. I don't know. You know.
But yes, okay. I mean, calling a spade a spade. I mean, it's not as far to say the final boss. I assume it's Ganon.
I am not. You guys don't want spoilers. I don't know.
Yeah. Don't.
Okay.
Don't do it, Earl. Don't do it.
I'm just saying, it's the guy you see at the beginning of the game. I assume he's the final boss.
You never know. You never
Demon
know.
King. I don't know. Yeah, like
they can rename him whatever they want.
When you're
whatever.
When you're 3/4 of the way through this fight, you again, like it. There's things there's like orbs and shit he shoots out. If they touch you, you're permanently getting a heart removed. And so, like, I'm going in with like a 20 heart meter. And near the end of that fight, I was pretty low. And that was with me bringing lots of potions that I brought like 20 potions that restore gloom and 3 hearts at the same time. So like it would cure 3 hearts of gloom and then also fill those hearts up, right? I brought 20 of those potions in, and I brought 4 potions in that give me highly increased defense for like 3.5 minutes. So I would take 4 iron shrooms and cook them, and so that when he hit me, the most damage he could do is 1 heart at a time. But I would imagine if I went in there without the iron shroom, he would fucking like wipe out my meter with 1 hit, I'm guessing, because like this boss was no fucking joke. And I just don't think that I didn't love it. Just say that. I spent a day preparing for it, like collecting and doing all these potions because I read a guide on what to do. And I went in and got my ass kicked, and I was like, that fucking sucks. I almost didn't do it again. But instead, I just made like double the amount of fuck this. I'm getting through this. I don't give a fuck. And I did, and I got through it. And then you get treated to a 4th phase, which I will not spoil here on the podcast. But the 4th phase of the boss is really fun, and it's really awesome. It's like, if you make it to that 4th phase, you're probably not going to die. Although, if you do die, you start right over at the beginning of the hour you just spent.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
I did not ever feel in danger of that happening when I got to the 4th phase. I was just like, this is really fucking cool. Kind of like it was up there with the Wind Temple boss. And that's all I'm going to say.
It's not that I'm worried about. It's more you say that if you die, you have to start it over again.
I don't think
it,
like, again, when I reached the fourth phase, I had a lot of hearts, but I think I lost like a half a heart during the whole fourth phase.
I don't mean the fourth phase. I'm going to talk about the previous three phases.
Yeah, those suck. Not super fun, guys. Not good. I'm just letting you know now. You have to go in prepared. Like, you have to go in, like I said, with these potions that I just told you. I didn't love the final boss. And overall, like, the game to me, like, was not as exciting to play as Breath of the Wild, even though I think it's better. Like,
I saw you say this on Twitter. Like, it's mostly because, like, a big portion of the map you've already kind of gone through, right?
Literally that map and then a bunch of stuff built on it. So, but also on top of that, it's just like Breath of the Wild was so fresh and like everything was a new idea where you're like, oh, I could climb anything. Oh, it eats up my stamina. Oh, I could level up my stamina. It's like none of that stuff. That's just like in this one, you're like, oh, I know that. It's all in the base of it. The graphics are the same. You know what I mean? Like everything is like,
it's the
not this new surprise anymore. It's just like we're building a game on top of a previous game. And in this case, literally, like it's literally built on top of the previous game. Like you have that map and we're building in the sky and below it and kind of new shit on the surface, but it's the same map. Like, and it's, I'm like, I don't know. That's just not, I do think this is the better game of the two, but it didn't give me the feeling that Breath of the Wild did.
This is the nice thing about having not enjoyed the previous game.
I guess so,
like,
yeah.
I'm getting all this stuff on the map. I never did this. This is cool.
What sucks is you guys want your like non-breakable weapons. Like the Master Sword is so much harder to get in this one. Oh my god, dude. So good luck with that.
Yeah. I don't need the non-breakable weapons, though. I'm enjoying my breakable weapons.
You didn't listen to last week because we were talking about how to fuse raid. I was going to say this is very much the Mario Galaxy, the Mario Galaxy, where Galaxy 2 is a better game, but because it's very much like,
yeah, I can see what you're saying. Sequel, yeah.
It's like it's a better game. Like you can't experience something for the first time a second time.
Yeah.
But you just can't. And I think the powers in here are better, but like to your point, like you know how to approach a lot of the enemies, a lot of the combat, you kind of understand the even flow. Because like even though they added some stuff, like you still have the, you know, the Hinnix, the Ainu.
Yeah, I see that. It's not a surprise to me. Like the first time I saw Hinnix, I was like, oh my god, you know what I mean? Like, and that's the thing. It's just not. I think that's a really great comparison, Earl. It's like the Super Mario Galaxy 2 of it. Like, it's like, yeah, this is better, but I have to like kind of tip my hat to the first one because that was just, it was a complete reboot. It was something completely new. You know what I mean? Like, and this is just like, yeah, we refined that. But like literally that, like if they had done a completely new world, like a completely new map, I would probably be more like excited about exploring this. But like now that I've beaten the game, I'm like, am I really gonna go get all the shrines? I don't know. I started playing as Star Wars again right after I beat it. So let you know how I feel. Colm is just waiting.
So you were talking about the shrines earlier. You know the mind-bending stuff? You know what it feels like to me? Portal.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
It's all like, okay, here's a bunch of random stuff. Figure it out.
It's super playful. It's like,
yeah,
the game kind of goes to the heart of like what playing is. Things and figure it out. And you know, sometimes I build something that, like, clearly this is not the right way to do it, and it would somehow work, you know? And I really, really loved it. Like, that was in Breath of the Wild, but they, like, so doubled down on that here, and at first I didn't like it, and then I really, like, it became the thing I loved about the game.
There was one I was, and I kind of like how they kind of teach you as you go along. Like, there was one I was doing, last night where you have to build a catapult and catapult the ball over the wall.
Yeah.
And unlock this thing. And it gives you, you know, more catapult materials. I'm like, what do I do with this? I don't have a ball. Oh, shit. I'm the ball now.
Yeah.
I think that kind of stuff is cool.
Yeah. The shrines like continue to surprise me. So I guess I probably will hunt a lot more of them down. And I have been recording clips and not posting most of them. I should start posting a little bit just so Chris could get an idea of like some of like the wackiness of it. It's really fun. Like it really is like kind of the coolest part about it. But also yeah, I like the improved dungeons and bosses. Like I have my nitpicks and whatever, but yeah, it's a really great game. It's probably going to be my game of the year. But you know, again, if you had asked me after I played Breath of the Wild if it's probably my game of the year, I'd be like, dude, obviously it's my game of the year, like no doubt about it. Which is weird because this is a better game. You get all that, Chris? You following?
I did. I'll just abuse my amiibo to get me weapons all the time.
You don't even need to do that. They're lying all over the place.
Oh, there's and like then, amiibo that gives you like the Link's Awakening face or something weird, creepy looking. I saw someone playing with
it. Is that from amiibo? It's the Wind Waker mask, isn't it?
Is it Wind Waker?
I saw one where you can look like a Link's Awakening, like the actual, like you look cell shaded and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It looked all fucking creepy in the game. Assuming that's amiibo.
Yeah, like there's a bunch of amiibo stuff. I don't know if the amiibo does the same stuff. I know in Breath of the Wild that like if you use the Zelda amiibos, they drop chests, and in those chests there's equipment.
That's bullshit. Also, has anyone here gotten the Evil Spirit armor set?
No.
Or part of it? Yeah, no. I got Evil Spirit Greaves after I beat the game last night. It's if you complete the mazes. I don't know if you guys have found the big mazes.
No,
I found one. I'm on now.
Okay, They're the same ones from like the first game, but now they like. There's a ground level of the maze, and then there's an air level of the maze, and then you go into the depths. And so I completed one completely, right? And like it ends in the depths, and you fight a boss in the depths. And I got the Evil Spirit Greaves. So I'm assuming in the other two mazes, I could get the Evil Spirit Armor and the Evil Spirit Helm. It's something like I think it gives you increased stealth. Not that exciting.
It was weird because I found a labyrinth via one of the sky towers, and I ended on top.
And it's like you have to go to the surface.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you got to be kidding me! I was like, oh,
I made it here. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, oh, now you got to go to the ground. I'm like, oh, you son of a bitch. So I went down to the ground, and that's where I ended my session today. But I'm like, I got up there.
Well, then, like, is it the North Lamai maze?
I think so.
They leave acorns, and if you follow those acorns, I don't know why, like, the first couple times I tried it, like, I would get lost, but, like, the last time I tried it, I'm like, yeah, you literally just follow the acorns, and you'll get to the end of it, and then, like, you'll get a shrine in there, and that shrine just gives you a freebie, what is it, like a light blessing or whatever. I love those shrines. I don't know if you guys have found those. Like the shrines where you just walk in and it's like, here you go. Like,
yeah.
You
don't have to see
it. Yeah, those are great.
And then
blessing of Roru or something.
Yeah. Here you go. You'll get one of those, and then there'll be like a little green circle thing that you activate, and it'll be like, now you can go to the sky, and then you can do the sky part of the maze. It's really cool because like the mazes I really loved in the first game, and now it's like there are three levels to the maze. But that's kind of goes to my point. That's what this game is. It's like it's that game, but hey, we built a bunch of cool shit on top of it.
Yes, and I mean, they're somewhat to your point, but I always find it fascinating when people are like, a new game's coming out, So I'm going to repay the previous one to get hype for it. Because I've seen people complain against
Zelda. Yeah, I didn't do that.
People are like, I'm like, yeah, but nobody's told you to pay for Breath of the Wild like 2 months before this came out.
Yeah, that always like wears me out on the game. Like,
yeah, it actually is just like, I want the memories of like what this was 5-6 years ago, not what this is two weeks ago, because yeah, it is very similar. I mean, it is the same map. Like, there are, you know, like you saw it in different places and stuff like that. I've actually not even made it up to the Great Plateau. I should go check that face out. I don't know what's up there anymore. But yeah, it is. I mean, it is the map. And I was surprised playing it how little the sky area actually comes into play as far as the sky isn't that big.
All right. So that was like my other point that I guess I don't know if I really made. Like, the sky and the depths are not that interesting. I'm sorry. Like, In Elden Ring, when you would find a map below the world, it was fully fleshed out and it was cool. I don't know. I don't think the depths are like, there's stuff, there are missions to do down there and there's things to do, but like, it's not the same thing. It, you know, you can't really say this is the Hyrule map times three, because ain't much going on up or down. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, but I mean, overall, I think it worked. It was
just, like, fun additions. They're cool. Like,
yeah, it was weird that like, I was just because like the again, there wasn't a ton of pre-release material, but it did seem like they made this guy. Like,
yeah, this guy was one of the big deal out of it. There's not much there.
So yeah. But yeah, I was like, because I've only been up to the sky thing two or three times now. Like, there's little, like, in between islands and stuff like that you find, like, the actual, what they consider, like, the sky zone. There's not been a ton for me to actually go up and explore. And it's like, once you're up there, it's not like you can go from, like, island to island. I mean, maybe once you get enough Zion charges, you can probably like, get one of those things and just, like, zip across on stuff. But yeah, I was surprised by, like, how infrequently I thought there'd be more where it's like, okay, you're going up and like you're figuring stuff up and then going down. It's like, no, you're mostly on the ground.
There's some shrines, but like not as much as the surface. And the depths have no shrines. So.
No. As somebody don't pointed, go
down there.
As somebody, oh, you need to.
Don't go down you there. Get, Earl's you scared. Get, Earl's afraid. I don't, if you listen to last week,
you will have to go down there.
Oh, and I still have not gone. But I have to go down because I know there's an ability you get down there, and there's stuff you have to go down there for.
Yes,
you can't get to the fire temple without going down there.
Oh, really?
Well, you played the game, Jeff.
I don't remember that, but I'm like trying not to say spoilery things. There's like reasons you have to go down there.
I did the first mission when you get the camera. And then I was like, I'm done, I'm piecing out, and it's like, no, you have to go down there more.
If often. You fuck around, you know how they like tell you to follow the statues down there? Yeah. If you continue doing that, you'll get an auto-build feature. Where
yeah,
like,
that's a feature, that's the ability I want to go down there for.
There is like, I'm trying to, I'll save it, but like you'll have to go down there. Yeah, there are things down there. But
what I was going to say is, like, there's no shrines, but somebody pointed out, and I think this is true, is that the light roots are topographically underneath the shrines, which is kind of a cool feature. So, like, it lines up to where there's a light root, there's a shrine above it at some point. It could be on the surface or it could be in the sky, but apparently they line up to where the shrines are in the overworld map.
Oh, cool. I thought of them as like towers, like the towers, but I guess that's cool that.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't be the towers because there's a lot more light roots.
Than yeah, yeah, you're right. Good call.
But yes, again, it's weird. To Tony's point, I said this last week and I still don't get it. Because I went through a shrine that was all dark and they give you a spotlight. And I'm like, oh, why? Yeah. Why? Because I'm not afraid of the dark. I love like bundling up in the dark with a horror movie on. I would do that, no problem. But in a video game, I'm like, what the hell is gonna pop up and attack me? So
I did that shrine you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. That was, I mean, it was a fun one, but I was just, I kept on going around every corner expecting something to pop out and attack me. The shrine, I mean, spoilers, has no combat, but I kept on expecting something to attack me. And that's kind of how I feel when I'm in the depths. I'm like, I'm going to go somewhere, and it's going to make this giant creature that's going to attack me that I can't fend off. And I'm like, that's why I don't want to go too further. I need to see my enemies coming.
Well, it sounds like Zelda's great.
It is. So, it is. It really is.
Glad you guys are enjoying it. I will play it at some point.
It is great. Asterisk.
I mean, the asterisk is that it plays similar to the prequel.
It's too much like my previous game of the year.
Yeah.
I hate it. Can't stand it.
Elden Ring's better.
No.
Elden Ring's not this year, but...
thank God.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Elden Ring is worse. Far, far worse.
Well, I'm glad that Tony is enjoying it, at least, so...
Yeah, I am too. I'm kind of surprised.
Why? I love games that are good.
You did not like Breath of the Wild at all.
Yeah, but
it didn't seem like
infinitely better.
It's the same shit.
I like the powers way more, although yeah. I will say Ascend does not feel like it should be a power. It's like
I like it. I like it a lot.
It's like Captain Planet. It's like you got all those awesome powers and then you got like heart. That's what Ascend feels like. It's the heart of look. The power.
Yeah,
it's always the last one I think of. I'm like, yeah. I don't know what to do here. What the fuck?
You might want to whip out Ascend and see. Is there something I'm supposed to go up? Because sometimes that it's really hard to think that. Like that's the cool thing. Like I said, like you have to kind of rewire your brain because like you just don't think that way.
There's no way to go from here. Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I think to Tony's point, and I could be. Ascend feels like the one feature where it's designed to be in a game, and it's like, the rock features where you have to use Ascend to get up to their shoulders, and it's really, I mean, you can find high ground and jump that way too, but that's more tedious. Where I feel like the other ones are more like, oh, we are going to let you have fun and do whatever. I feel
yes.
Like the Ascend
it's the one that's not creative and
yes, it is. Like you can use it creatively, like, but you're using it like I tried to get up somewhere the other day, and I'm like, oh, I can't get up there. So I got like I held it up in the air for a bit, dropped it down, used recall, then used
it. Yeah,
but that was using Ultra Hand, and
I love that though. Like that's where, but that like, dude, I did that many times in the game where I combined all three abilities to do something because I couldn't figure out how else. And sometimes that's probably the way you're supposed to do it, but sometimes I guarantee that's not the way you're supposed to do it. But just because you're like you got all three abilities in your head and you're using them, like you come up with something crazy like that. Like I'll hold something up, I'll drop it, I'll rewind it, I'll ascend through it, and it works. Like it's amazing.
But yeah, but I think like. I think part of it again is just like I feel like Ascend so much. It's because it's not like you can't use recall everywhere, but like recall tends to have like you can like I said last week I used it to chuck back stuff enemies threw at me, like the giant rock stuff. They throw boulders, send it right back at them. That dazes them a little bit. finding something to do, but like Ascend, it's like so many times like I want to use Ascend. It's like oh. No, this ceiling is just too... Because, again, like the way they showed it, it sounded like, oh, you can go from like a cave all the way to the top of a mountain. And you can if it lines up perfectly. If not, you're just running around trying to see when is it turning green, when is it turning green, when is it turning green. Okay, it's turning green. I can try something here. And so far, I've only seen one super... Like the sky tower where you have to dig underneath it. I think that's the only time I've seen it where it's like, oh, okay, this is a very clever use of the power. But, again, I'm enjoying them. I think I enjoy most of them more than the powers in Breath of the Wild.
I think I just found that Sky Tower like 2 days ago. I realized there was one region on my map that I like had not filled out. And I was like, oh my God. I was like near the end of the game. I'm like, there's a tower I still haven't grabbed. And I had to like go down into a cave and then ascend through it to get into the tower.
like the first. It's my Assassin's Creed-ness, I think, is the first thing I do in Dunaria.
Me too. Tower. That's what the first 2 days playing Tears of the Kingdom, all I was doing was getting towers, and then for whatever reason, I left one like puzzle piece of my map blank and forgot about it for the whole game, and then I was like, I have not explored this region at all. Holy shit! I still have a tower, but yeah, the tower is my favorite thing about these last two games. Honestly, I love them. And these are like a little different. Some of them you just like walk right in and that's it.
Yeah.
But there is usually like some sort of like trick to them, and yeah, then I just love you. They shoot you way up into the sky.
Yeah, I absolutely adore that animation.
Yeah.
Even when I'm reusing it, like fast talk.
Yeah.
I will still go to the animation because I just chucked up in that air. Yes, and I do like that. Like I thought it was gonna be like, oh, you just go and activate them. I do like that they introduce like, oh, this is broken. You need to go to this cave and burrow up. Oh, this one's broken. You have to climb up top or get up top and remove the thing on top of it. And stuff like that. I like that there's little things to do because, like, the first in Breath of the Wild, like, you have to actually, like, ascend those things.
You have to scale them, and sometimes there'd be tricks to it, right? Like, they'd be covered in, like, thorns or whatever. But this one is, like, it's a puzzle to get into them. Like, you have to get inside of them. And yeah, like, sometimes really neat. You have to, like, go in a cave underneath and ascend up. Like, I really liked how they did the towers in this, actually. Like, and again, you get this sweet fucking getting shot into the fucking air at the end of it. So, anyways, I'm sure Chris is like barely staying awake at this point.
No, it's good. I am glad you guys are enjoying. And I will play it likely at some point this year.
Game of the year, bro.
I mean, you guys are very, very, very positive on it. I mean, I don't know if anything can take Gollum away from my heart.
I just love you bought Gollum, not the new Zelda.
Somebody he's not done with old Zelda yet.
Right. Still, I'm poking at Breath of the Wild. He's still the old Zelda. I am poking at Breath of the Wild. I'm still not vibing with it.
I loved that game very much. I've reached
the fifth fish area again. The Zora, is that who they are? Yeah. I just reached there, and they want, like, I guess if I remember correctly, the Divine Beast is spraying water on their kingdom. It's all, like, perpetually in rain.
Mm-hmm.
They have to go fight the... So that's where I'm at right now, except I don't think I'm strong enough. I have, like, 4 hearts and 1 stamina meter, so...
Are you not doing shrines? What are you doing?
I mean, I'm only like 2.5 hours back into this
game. Oh, like, gotcha.
Like, it's just like I'm following you get out there, you talk to Impa, and she's like, go talk to, you know, this little girl who's 1,000 years old, and then she sends you on a quest. You go back and forth between them for a little bit. And then it's like, okay, go to the 4 corners of Hyrule and meet with your buddies.
Yeah.
Whatever. And so, like, that's where I'm at right now. So, I'm just not stumbling across shrines either, like, which I don't know why. Like, when I find them, I'm doing them, and they're fun. It's just I'm not stumbling across them the same way. Anyway, that game is, what, 7 years old? We're not talking about Breath of the Wild right now. Tony, did you play anything else besides Tears of the Kingdom?
No, that was the only game I played.
I mean, it seems like a very big game. So
it is. There's a lot to do. Yeah.
And Earl, did you play anything besides?
I did, actually.
Okay.
Actually, I played a new game that came out today. I also played Golden Hill.
Thank you. I'm not the only one.
I checked out, Cassette Beast. Which I know it's on Game Pass. That's how I checked it out. Cassette Beast, I don't know if anybody's seen it, is an old school RPG of sorts. It's very kind of, I want to say 90s influence. It kind of reminds me of Twin Peaks, You are a character you name who wakes up in like a distant world that you don't know about. It's not Earth exactly. As you play the game, you find out a lot of people kind of got stranded there and nobody knows how to get home. So in this world, you you transform into beasts that you collect via a cassette player. So the cassettes or the tapes are the different types of creatures you can be. And it's a, so, you know, there's the basic elements, earth, fire, wind, and then there's like metal, poison, and something else. So
heart.
It's not heart, but you go, so it's kind of like Pokemon or Shin Megami Tensei in a way. You could fight enemies in the field, but you can also record them. And when you record them, and I don't know why I'm doing air quotes, nobody can see me. When you record them, if you do enough damage or whatever, you can record them onto this tape, and then you can then have access to that monster and their abilities. And you can, you know, like, so the monsters and their HP is kind of already, again, tapes. That monsters, that's it. You use them in combat and you can switch out in between rounds and stuff like that. When they get damaged, when the tape gets broken, you that monster's out for the well, that monster's out until you repair the tape. So you can switch to another monster. Right now, there's two people in my party and we have, you know, we each start with one tape, and then there's four side tapes that we can keep in our inventory that we can switch between. Say like one breaks, you can switch to another one. You can switch at any time throughout the game. It takes up a turn. You know, you have different types. Different types of elements again. So like, if you what was it? I think if you set gas on fire, that then turns that creature into poison. If you are, air conducts electricity. So if an electric attack hits somebody in the air, it actually supercharges their attack and does more damage. You know, fire burns metal. So it has like that Pokemon, like this beats that, or this is stronger against that, and this. So, but there's also things that intermingle. You can change elements as you play. You can learn different moves. You can take moves from one character and add it to another character. They're called stickers, which you peel off of the tape and you put it on another tape. And so you can also gain access to moves outside of just leveling up the characters and stuff like that. So far, I actually think it's really cute. It's really charming. The combat is pretty straightforward. I think it's a very different aesthetic for an RPG. Like, it's not straight up Pokemon. You're not just going through and catching wild creatures, but you can engage it in that way. They do level up, or what is it? It's all cassette based. It's like the interface, like when you attack, it's like a tape player. So you have like the play button is your fight, and your free button is like your stop, and then your pause is for you to transform and stuff like that. So they have like, I forget if it's rewound or something. But like once your creature levels up five times or gets to level five, they can be upgraded. Some of them looks like they have straight evolutionary forms. The one I started off with was a candy thing, and when it leveled up, I had a choice between alchemy and metallic or something like that, and I chose so like now it's like metal air combination creature. And it does more damage, and it unlocks a new set of powers. You have a fusion system with your partner, and that's, you know, like a lot of RPGs now. You build that fusion system up by talking to your characters at like rest stops and doing side missions with them. And as you increase that, their bond increases, which gets them stronger fusions and stuff like that. Right now, I have this the main character who I think you don't switch out of. And then you have like one partner you can bring, which you have two partners that can switch between. So far, it seems like I'd have to go back into town every time I want to switch out with somebody. I have the second guy with me right now. I don't really see his purpose. I prefer the girl I start off with because she seems much better. My favorite little piece so far, aside from the creatures, is that they have quote unquote vampires, which are like goth emo, I guess, emo humans. Mm-hmm. But they're actually nanorts, because this is, like I said, this is like this weird world and there's no currency or anything like that. So nobody knows how anything functions. So they're like, oh, you know, we have this scheme to like do land development. So like when new people come and need housing, we can charge them. So they're bad guys. And you go about defeating them. And it's really very, I mean, a lot of it is on the nose, but it's very fun and funny dialogue around them too. And I guess to that point, I said there's no currency. So you don't earn money and stuff. You earn resources. And so like when you want to rest, you use like wood at a fire because you burn the wood at the fire. You get like one person's asking wood to get like 600 pieces of wood. So that's what I'll get for them. And they'll give me an item. You go to a shop and like the shop, it's like it deals with mulch or it deals with like trash you find around. So it's not money, resources you find. That's what you barter. That's what you buy things with in the game. But yeah, like right now, I'm really digging it. I think it's really cute and charming. It's on Game Pass. I'd recommend checking it out.
And is it's on Xbox Game Pass or are you playing this on PC?
Oh, it's on Xbox. I don't play PC games.
Okay. Only because I looked it up and I only saw it for PC Game Pass, but
literally it dropped today and I checked on the Game Pass app and it was like it's out today, but I think it's in the coming soon section. Oh, it moved up to the recently added section now because like yeah, it's coming soon and I'm like oh maybe I missed this and it's like no, it says May 25th, so I installed it and when I went to play I could play it. I'm like okay, I'm not gonna play it, but yeah.
Do want to know why there's 100 achievements for this game?
So far, a lot of them do seem to be like stuff you just kind of get. I mean, I'm not gonna say that, but a lot of them, it's like, oh, you got this person as a party member. You got this person as a party member. You completed this side mission with this person.
It looks like obtain certain creatures or whatever.
Yeah.
Then there's ones for obtain 10 different species and all the way up to 100. It's a lot to unlock. Enjoy. I like the aesthetic of it. It looks pretty neat. So
I'm just happy that like it's not like the pic. Like it has like a, but it's not like that. Oh, this pixel art thing that we do. It has a very chill vibe to it. It's like I said. I feel it's very 90s inspired. I think.
I could see that, yeah. And it's actually very colorful, too, which is nice against some of the other pixel art stuff. Play anything else?
No.
Jeff, I mean, I know you played some more Star Wars. You played Zelda. Anything? Mix anything else in there?
Well, speaking of 90s inspired, I've really wanted to play the Ninja Turtles collection out of nowhere for whatever reason. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But it's like the one time I decided I want it, it's not on sale. So no.
Okay.
All right, sure.
So, not on sale this week?
No. It's like always on sale for $27.99 and it's fucking $40.
Oh, I think the special edition was on sale this week.
Yeah, I think I saw what you're talking about. Yeah, but I'm not, yeah, dude, I'm not trying. Bucks. I'm trying to save money, not spend whatever the fuck.
He has a PS5 to buy.
I should open
you know what? Maybe fuck Ninja Turtles Collection. Maybe get the PS5.
Yeah, $40 versus $400, $500. All right, so I played Lego 2K Drive. I won't spend too much. It's getting late, but that's a game that I played. It's fun. It is very fun. I don't know if it justifies its $60 fun. I have played it for a good chunk of time.
Let's $70 see. Fun, right?
$60 fun. There is a $70 version, I think. Oh.
But it's not like getting the X/S
or yeah, it might be. I think I did pay $70 for the Series X version, the Series version. There, you can also get the Xbox One version. I don't think that matters. Like it is,
I always, if the option is there, I have to.
If it is, same. Yeah. But mostly, so it's like I want the best looking one.
Yeah.
Even if I don't, if I can't recognize it, because it's all Lego based. But yeah, it's that, you know, that aesthetic. It's the Lego aesthetic. I have played it for 11 hours, so I've gotten my money's worth out of it. And I am a little over 2/3 of the way through, I think, of the story mode. Now, about 2 hours of that was spent playing multiplayer, as I did the one multiplayer achievement. It is... Here's the easiest way to explain it. It is Mario Kart mixed with Forza Horizon. So the races are kart racing. There is power-ups on the field. There are boost like pads and stuff, and you have like a boost meter that you like, you know, in Burnout where you press A and go faster. All that is straight kart racing. And then the open world stuff is Forza Horizon. There are different like things on the field, on the map to go do that aren't races, like little challenges, like, oh, do this loop around in X amount of time, or see how far you can jump.
Do we have barn finds?
No.
That's my favorite shit.
I mean, there's like stuff to find, but it's not, like, it's not that like that. And I had like, there's a very specific feel to a barn find in Forza Horizon. There's nothing quite like that.
Okay. But like, so like, you go around an open world map, right?
Yeah.
And then what, you find a race and it sections off, like, it's like a circuit within that map that you do.
Yeah. So, well, it's semi-open world. So, and let me explain that, is that there's four zones. So like if you're playing Forza Horizon, you go and you open up your festival in one of the areas, right? And then like opens up all the activities in that area. Similar here, except when you go, it's just that one section. So when you want to leave that section and go to another section, like there's this place called Hauntsville that you unlock at the end. Like, it is a separate map that you're exploring. They're fairly big, but like there are four different maps that you can bounce between. Hauntsville is not connected to the mining town, to the other one. They are separate from each other, and you have to fast travel to them if you want to go there. But you drive around. The races are populated on the map based on the story mode. So it's like, oh, here's three races in this section of, you know, where you're at, and you have to do those, and that's how you progress in the story. But to do some of those, you also have to do some open world events because you need to be a certain level to get there. I'm over leveled. Like, it's just an experience meter. It doesn't make you any better. Like, you don't get stats to apply. It's just like, yeah, it's just a gating mechanic. Like, you've played enough of this game, you can now do these races. You have to do 24 races, and like every 8 is like a big race that you do in that one section. And then like, you're the champion of that area. So each of the three big areas has their own. And then there's a fourth final called the Sky Cup. That's what you're going for. So it's that, like, you're just driving. It's a kart racer where you're driving around. You drive to the races. You don't just pick them on a map. You can. There's also a cup series and individual races that you can do. But like the main draw here is the story mode, the campaign, where you're just driving around this free world, and like, you just, your car just blows through everything. Because everything's made of Legos. Like, your car is evidently made of steel. But you're just like driving through other people that are on the road. Like, they just explode into a shower of bricks. People don't, like, when you hit them, but they do go flying, so that's kind of funny. And they'll scream a little bit as they go. it has that Lego movie feel to it, like that kind of vibe. Everything's voiced, so if you don't enjoy that type of like the Lego movie type humor, or if you've, I don't know, if you guys play, there's like the open world Lego game, Lego City Undercover. Yeah, yeah, that one. It has that type of like,
yeah,
like comedy. Like that's the writing level of it. I have gotten to a point where I just don't care. I skip all the dialogue.
Yeah.
I just want to. The races are cool. The maps are cool. My one big problem with it is that, like, and this is with racing games, you want to drive other cars. You want to get the better car. You want to get your currency, buy a new car that's better than the last car you had. I am still rolling with the first car I got. I am using other cars within that loadout. So it is very much like Sonic Transformed, where you are driving on the road and then you hit the water and your car becomes a boat instantly. And each of those different vehicles, you set up your loadout. So you have your primary car, your road car, you have an off-road car, you have a boat, and then there's like a fourth one. I'm not drawing a blank on what the fourth loadout is, but there are four different vehicles that you have depending upon what terrain you are on. And they have different stats, but I haven't come across one that's like, this is significantly better than what I'm driving that doesn't have significant drawbacks. Like there are cars that are much faster than what I'm driving, but the acceleration is minus 10. So it's like, it doesn't get up to speed as fast. It might have a higher top speed, but if I crash, I'm almost out of a race at that point. So it's like you're building your loadout on risk reward, based on that stuff. It has a full on building mode, and each of the Lego cars is individually built brick by brick. So you have cars that are already built, but you could take them apart, and technically, if you had the pieces, you could reassemble them in real life based on how they're built in the game. I cannot put anything that's competent together. It all looks like, I don't know if you guys have played Nuts and Bolts.
Yeah.
Like where you're trying to build something there, and it's all like, this is barely functional.
Yeah, I just played Nuts and Bolts too. It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun, but like unless you are willing to devote some serious time to building, you're not making anything pretty. Now, the cool thing is that you can mirror a car, so like you unlock the McLaren pretty early on. You could mirror that, change all the colors, and add different stats to it based on the other cars you've collected. So you can make cars that you want that look cool, but otherwise you're probably building a block with wheels on it that'll go fast, but it's not aesthetically pleasing unless you're willing to put the time into it. I think it's really fun. I've seen a lot of people criticizing the microtransactions on it. And sure, I guess. I also hear people going like, oh, well, it's you don't earn currency fast enough. That's only if you're playing multiplayer. If you are playing the single player game, I have almost $80,000 in currency, which is enough to buy 8 DLC cars. I'm not defending their choice here, but like, if you're not going to play the whole game, then don't criticize like the cash give out. Like, there's just cash all over the single player modes. It's just literally just lying on the ground. You can drive over and pick it up. So I'm always gaining money there. And as I said, I haven't had no reason to actually use it because none of the cars have been significantly better than what I have. I think that's the big drawback for me, is like I'm still using that primary car as my main vehicle. It's really neat. I don't know. I bet it'll be on sale for $35 in a month. So
yeah, I am resisting that and Ninja Turtles, because I know
they'll both be on sale. It's a good kart racing game. I will do a full episode on Lego 2K Drive.
Yeah.
as I'm nearing the end, so once I finish it, I'll do a Chris's Cart Corner on it. But it's fun. It's a good game. I think if you enjoy, you know, arcade kart racing, it does its job. It also, very much like Disney Speedstorm, there is some major rubber banding in that game. But at the end of the race, in fact, this game does it weird, where everybody shoots out in front of you, and then you're trying to catch up. But by the end, like by the last half of the last lap of these races, or the last 50% of a point-to-point race, you're starting to get up by the leader. So you're almost always in it at the end. And I think that does make for a more compelling racing game than just blowing somebody out, or, you know, getting knocked over, getting taken out of a race and not being able to get back into it. You want the race to be competitive. That's what makes it fun. So this does a good job with that. And real quick, as we're talking about kart racers, Figment is out. I was able to get him in Disney Speedstorm.
Yeah.
I now have Celia in Speedstorm, and we're about seven or 10 days from the end of season one. And once season one ends, I'll do an episode on Disney Speedstorm as well.
I saw that we get Steamboat Willie in season two, but I do not know if there's new tracks or what.
Yeah, I hope there's new tracks. I hope they add new tracks each season. And yes, Steamboat Willie and Steamboat Pete are new characters that we'll be able to unlock.
I'm behind. I'm not gonna lie.
That's the other thing with Speedstorm is I'm hitting a wall where I'm just don't have the materials to upgrade, and I don't know if I'll be able to finish the final chapter of the story mode, because like I'm like right at the bar right now. I think it was need level 23 to do some of those races, and my mic is at 24. And like if it goes up to 25 or 26, I don't know if I have enough materials to upgrade and finish out the season. I do think they also need to adjust the experience for their season pass. I don't know how many people have finished it, but I am about 2/3 through, and if it's done in 10 days, I don't think I'm going to finish that. So I won't unlock Boo as a crew member. She's only available at level 49. But I'm almost done. I almost have Randall. I think I'm a few shards away from Randall, almost at, what's it, Mowgli, Beast, Shang, and one other one that I'm pretty close to as well. Oh, Elizabeth Swan. The only one I have zero shards for right now is Baloo. I don't think there's even been any made available yet for him. So that game's fun, but yeah, they said it could be another at least seven more months before that exits early access. They said it might not exit until early 2024. I don't know. We'll see how season one has been fun. Hopefully season two is good, but we'll see on that. I think that is it for us. Is anybody getting the early access version of Diablo?
No.
Okay, so we won't have Diablo next week. We'll have more Golem.
You haven't pre-ordered the regular version, but yeah.
Yeah, that's till the 6th, right? I think if you pre-order like the super deluxe version or something, you get it on the 1st, but
I think you might be right. I want to say you get on the 5th at like 6 p.m. or something weird like that. Like it has a really weird like evening release time, but yeah, I just got the standard version.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna play that game for what it is. I don't need any of the extra like nonsense.
Yeah, whatever, like 2 days early, whatever the fuck, like that'll be over.
Are we all in on Diablo?
I know is in on Diablo, man.
I will pick it up at some point, probably.
Okay, not Earl, but everyone else I know.
I enjoy them, but I mean, one, we're still against Activision Blizzard. That's also a game. Like, I remember 3 being like $30 half the time. So,
oh yeah, 3 is on sale all the time, and like, yeah, it will drop in price.
3 is on sale so much. I have it on Switch and Xbox and Xbox One, and like, dude, I own that thing on everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's scalable for. Can you transfer your characters? Or are they across all 3, or is it just?
I don't know.
You just have different characters on all.
I think so. I think so. Yeah, yeah, but I do think that maybe you can. I don't know. I own it on everything, and I've played it a million times. But I am so psyched for. I have not played any of the betas. Like, I'm going in like pretty much fresh to this, and I'm like so excited.
All right, well, that'll be in 2 weeks. Tony, when is your thing that you have to go to in June?
Cody's asleep.
Oh, no. All right. Well,
we've lost Tony. It'd be hilarious if he's just sleeping like I was last week.
Like, oh, they talked about Lego and Disney's kart racers. Time for nighty-night time. Oh no. His headset died. Anyway, we'll be back next week. No Diablo. But we will have more Gollum. I'm sure Earl and Tony will continue to play Tears of the Kingdom. Jeff, maybe you'll finish up Star Wars.
Yeah, I'm back on it. I feel like I remember all the buttons. It's like you have to retrain your brain.
You play different games. Yeah. I'm going to be like running into stuff when I go back to play Cal after playing a stupid Golem.
I feel like I'm pretty like late into that game. And like, again, when I jumped into it last night, I was like, oh yeah, I remember this. I got my mid-air dash. I kind of want to get through this. But even though I heard like there's some like really crappy bosses late in the game, but
the last 2 bosses are not great.
Yeah, I might just turn down the difficulty just to say fuck it and get through it.
All right, well, we look forward to hearing about that. Jeff, say goodnight.
Soir, or something like that, if I remember my French correctly.